Hey, what's up, all? It's Fred Rojas here, and as you may or may not have noticed, this is not going to be an episode of Video Game Purists. This isn't even a full episode by any stretch, especially by our standards. But I wanted to, I figure the easiest way to distribute this information is through the podcast feed, especially if you don't regularly visit like my website, gaminghistory101.com, or follow us on Twitter or various other ways. In fact, I'm probably terrible at communicating to people as to where exactly to find us, because we just kind of murk around in our various places, trees and myself. But let's get the important stuff out of the way and just knock this out in case you want to move on. But this week we do not have a show. The reason we do not have a show is we're changing recording dates. So everybody said that they still want the shows to come out on Friday, which is perfectly fine and actually ideal for me, the producer and editor of the show. But what that means is now that we're moving a few days in the future, for full disclosure, we used to record on Thursday nights. Now we're recording on Sunday nights, and that is a tentative date. But or day of the week, but for now we're gonna give that a try, and as a result, you know, we're gonna hop over, and instead of trying to rush something out on Monday or change things around, I just said let's go until next Friday, so we'll record this Sunday for something coming out next Friday. This also gives me more time to hopefully slightly improve the quality of the podcast, maybe get rid of some gaps, have more time to edit it, yada yada yada. So that's what this is. But instead of just giving this to you, peacing out and moving on, I figured I'd take a few minutes and discuss some topics that are video gaming important to me that trees probably wouldn't want to talk about. And honestly, a lot of these issues probably aren't issues for trees, but they are for me. And so I figured I would talk about them, and it'd be, I just think it's a good way to start into the summer. Summer's almost here. I understand that from a seasonal standpoint, it's quite a ways away, but y'all, it's like over 90 degrees out in Kansas City already. My daughter's a couple weeks from being out of school. To me, the summer is basically upon us. So I have a couple of quick, like, recent news topics to talk about, but not in great detail and not to, like, regurgitate you for them. But they are things that I feel like the industry as a whole, whether it be pundits or media or even your own friend on Twitter or Instagram, is talking about that may put you in a negative connotation towards video games. And I think it's high time we have more of a positive connotation. Now, don't misinterpret me. This is not fluffy flowers and rainbows and never live without criticism. Lord knows, anybody who listens to me knows that I can be critical, in fact, in many cases, quite critical of games that and topics that perhaps don't deserve it. So I'll cop to that weakness. But without further ado, let's dig into some of them. So let's start with the fact that there is no E3 this year. When you think of summer, when I think of summer, that's synonymous with early June. And early June is not only the time when at school time I would get out of school, but also from a professional standpoint, I would traditionally be taking off usually the first or second week of June so that I could sit at home, get a nice bottle of whiskey that I would ideally stretch out over at least a week or two, and watch an endless sea of E3 press conferences, have conversations, and even have very long-winded but very fun conversations with a lot of my peers and friends in the podcasting realm about these games coming out. And E3 is not happening this year. Many think E3 is gone for good. I really don't think it's relevant whether it's gone for good or not. It's not happening this year. And a lot of people are kind of down about that. And to me, I say, well, actually, that's not necessarily a bad thing. All it really means is that I believe that without all these press conferences and whatnot, we are going to stretch out the news a little bit, which used to be a bad thing when we used to pile things on. But I feel like in the last few years, right, much like everything else, COVID's kind of trained me to be a little more patient. I don't know that that's that big of a deal anymore. We know that there is a Microsoft Bethesda showcase coming up. We know that there are a couple of other showcases coming up. And there's even, like, in my opinion, mildly lackluster showcases that are already happening, such as Nintendo's Indie World Showcase. And on top of that, you know, Jeff Keighley's going straight for the throat. He's got his game, his Summer Game Fest coming up. That's the week of E3. I believe it's June 9th or 10th. I am unfortunately in a corporate training during that time, so I won't be able to go to my local IMAX theater, which not only is having it, having a showing of this, but also is in my town, and there are seats available. But it's, I think it's $18 to $25, although I think you get lunch with it. But I digress. If you want to go into a big theater and watch it, you can. That used to be kind of like an exclusive thing. I remember going to a local, signing up with Sony and going to a local casino around here and watching it in their theater. And it was a little like, okay. But it was kind of cool to see all these trailers along with people. And I got to tell you, if you ever end up going to any of these press events on your own, or you know, if you've been to them in the past, I mean, that is roughly what they are. It's a bunch of people you don't know packed into a area you don't know. If you're lucky, you get food or a little freebie. Definitely not the days of check under your seat for an Xbox. And even if you did, if you were at a reputable site, you couldn't accept it anyway. But all that being said, I mean, that is what it is. So what I would say is just pump the brakes a little bit on the negativity. Just realize that there's still plenty of stuff out there. And now, instead of having to take a week off of work, which you're more than welcome to do if that's what you want to do, but you don't have to tune into these things at one given moment, right? And nowadays, media is so stretched out, right? Like, it used to be a million people watching one site, right? Now, it's 1 million sites with one viewer each. And I speak from personal experience when I say that. Love you all, but let's face it, when E3 press conferences were going on, y'all weren't, most of you, there was always a handful of people, and I appreciate every one of you who joined those experiences with me. But usually there was nobody really in the audience other than a handful of very dedicated people, which, again, these are the people you want to be talking with. I don't want a million people that are all just making fun of me, right? That's not the point. But what I'm saying is the camaraderie and the centralized nature of E3 is kind of gone anyway. So you can really discuss it anywhere, anytime. So will I be doing anything? I don't think so, but maybe. And I'd love to see if Trees would talk with me about it. I bet he would, but I haven't discussed it with him. But this will give us an opportunity to kind of talk about stuff, you know, in the future. Also of note, if you've hung in here, you know, it's a whopping almost 10 minutes, but if you've hung in here, Trees and I are also going to try to limit the shows to 2 hours. Now, do we think it will always be 2 hours? No, we'll probably go over. We might even go over this next episode, but that's the goal, is to trim them down just a little bit, and that's for the sanity of us, the hosts. So I know some of you love the long episodes, and we love making them, but just to keep some semblance of, if I'm being completely transparent, both he and I were struggling with schedules as well as sleep schedules, and so that's really kind of what has brought about some of this change. Also, our lives have changed. My spouse took a new job, and he's had some schedule changes as well, so it's working out better to kind of change our day. Anyway, moving on. Xbox had an outage. Now, I'm well aware that Xbox is far behind PlayStation in this generation, but it's way ahead of where it was last generation, and I think it's a popular place to be, especially because of Game Pass. And during this outage that happened, I think it was over last weekend, admittedly, I was playing the hell out of Demon's Souls on the PS5, and it just didn't affect me, but under any normal circumstances, it would have, where Xbox didn't allow people to play, obviously, DRM-based games, so any digital titles that you had that hadn't touched the server in, I think it was a very short period of time. You know, ideally, it's like Steam, where it's like a month, but I think it's only like a couple of hours or a couple of days, and I don't know that number, so I'm not going to speculate on it. But people were reporting that they weren't able to play their digital games, they weren't able to play Game Pass games. Both of those make perfect sense. But additionally, their disc-based games, they weren't necessarily able to play. And I should note that while I can't prove this, I'm pretty sure what they mean by disc-based games that need to touch the server was there are certain games where you have to log into a server whether they're disc-based or not, and those are probably the ones that were having trouble. I would bet like your copy of Bloodstained, and I did have a disc copy of Bloodstained, should have tested it. you know, since it doesn't have to touch a server or anything, we'll just allow you to play as long as it detects the disk in the box. Because as I understand it, the DRM is pretty straightforward. When you go to launch a game, it checks, okay, is there a disk in the drive? No. If there's not a disk in the drive, or if the disk in the drive is not the game you're trying to launch, then it goes online and tries to see if it can get DRM that way, whether through a license that is tethered to your account, meaning you bought it, or if there is a free weekend going on, or if you have Game Pass, and it's through that. And I mean, that's pretty much it. Oh, there's also games with gold, and is your gold active, and things like that. But those are the ways it kind of works. But it has sprung to mind this, or it's sprung a lot of debates nowadays of like, this is why I go disc-based, and how dare Xbox do it? And for the record, PlayStation would do the same. If it's an online game that has to touch the network, and PlayStation had an outage, even if you've got your disc, you'll have a problem. Now, people really like to get into the nitty-gritty of, well, PlayStation installs more and Xbox does less. And there's definitely evidence to the case where, like, Halo Infinite, there's like a meager 20 gigs on the disc, and like the other like 40 to 80 gigs exist in the cloud that you're in on the network that you have to download. But then again, Halo Infinite at best is mildly an offline game when you're playing single player, and largely that game was intended to be consistently online, so that doesn't surprise me. But the point I'm trying to make here is, the issue here is the DRM and how it's handled. It's not disc versus digital. You can be a fan of disc, you can be a fan of digital. It really doesn't matter. Those are just interpretations and opinions. And what the industry is going to do is what the industry is going to do. I'm sorry to tell you gamers, but you never have and never will have control over that. They're just going to change on you, right? All you disc-based people, the world changed around you, and you either conform to it, which a lot of people did, or you go out of your way doing all kinds of ridiculous pre-sales and limited run games and all that stuff, which that's not to dismerit these companies that do it. I'm actually very thankful they provide that service. But, you know, I mean, it's you're putting a lot of effort into something that may not necessarily need that effort. And even then there's been flaws where like the limited run games release comes out and then they patched the game afterwards, and then that foils the whole point of it, right? And that's probably the developer's fault, not limited run games, but like it is what it is, you know. And so to that end, I say Microsoft and ideally Sony and Nintendo, but I doubt either of those companies are going to do it. But Microsoft really needs to take a step back and look at how it handles its DRM and widen that window to make games more accessible. But don't play the fool on this one. If you think for a second that any disc you have on any generation after the original Xbox, GameCube, and PlayStation 2 is untouchable, you are sorely mistaken. There are Wii games that even if you have the disc, you will not be able to play. And there are most definitely on the Microsoft and Sony consoles, tons of games that are rendered unplayable. And they can easily be rendered unplayable even if you own a disc copy with a patch or a shutoff of a remote server. And we're going to see this firsthand as Sony starts to transition away from PSP, PS3, and Vita games. We've already seen some hints of it, which I think were more like that issue where PS1 games would suddenly not launch. I think that was more of an oopsie, like either an early, you know, expiration date or something that was built in there that triggered that they didn't expect to, that rewrote the expiration date. But one way or the other, we're going to see that firsthand. None of your stuff's safe. The closest way you can get it safe is, I think it's pretty safe to say, in the 360 and PS3 generation, a majority of games either didn't have much patching to be done, don't need to touch an online server, or those patches have been made public, especially on the PS3 side. Like, Sony does not care if you take patches to their games and freely distribute them, because without the game itself running, the patch is useless. To that end, I would say that you could probably get away with it with like, and that's why I do it with like soft modded Wii U's and PS3's. And then if you want to go through the ridiculous hoops for 360, you can. But I would say Microsoft did a relatively decent job with the backwards compatibility, and the 360 is still pretty safe offline if you just install your games. So, But beyond that, there is not an Xbox One, PS4, Xbox Series, and PS5 game that's safe. If they patch it out or remove a remote server, you're SOL, disc or otherwise. So, and with that in mind, I think the last thing is delays. So Starfield got delayed today when I'm recording this. This will have been yesterday when you're listening to this, if you listen to it on release day. And there was another game that was delayed. It was a big game, and I'm sorry I forgot it. It was announced at the same time. And then it started the flame wars, right? The fanboys are like, oh, look at you, Microsoft, paltry, no game having platform. And people are like, watch God of War get delayed, which I hope, it might very well happen, but I hope no one's hoping for that. Jesus, people, how petty can you be? And these console wars are getting more petty by the day. It's why I don't even engage with them. But what I want to remind people is as games are getting delayed, highly anticipated games, much like E3, yeah, this zeitgeist stuff's gotta go. Like, it's cute when everyone's playing Elden Ring at the same time. It's actually pretty cool. Sorry, I didn't mean to sound condescending when I say it's cute. When I say it's cute, it's more like when everyone's playing Chorus at the same time, it's cute. When everyone's playing, I'll go back to Bloodstained, Circle of the Moon, it's cute. Things like that. But, you know, even when everyone's playing Elden Ring or Halo Infinite or God of War Ragnarok or, you know, various other games, like, those are cool, but it's becoming less and less necessary, right? Like, there are so many games coming out at such a big clip, and there are so many backlogs, right? Like, I would be beside myself if people can say that even in the last year they've been able to keep up with everything. Either you're not expanding your horizons enough to really assess the games that are coming out, and I'm talking like full-blown in-your-face retail digital AAA and indies, or you're just so limited in your scope that there's just never going to be a large number of games. But to that end, whenever you see a game like Starfield get delayed, don't get all pissy. Don't go start the flame wars again. Don't even be bummed. Just realize, okay, well then I just need to readjust my schedule and find something else that I was meaning to play. And if you don't have a backlog, again, I think you're either lying to yourself or you're really limiting yourself in the kinds of games you'll play. And with things like Game Pass, with things like the upcoming version of PS Plus, which previously PS Now, mild side gripe, what the F, Sony? Like, I understand that you're doing a transition, but don't have a bunch of PS Now games that you're announcing and talking about and that are in your store, and then when you go to subscribe, it says you can't. You need to find a way to allow people to have, like, short-lived subscriptions that wouldn't overline your stuff. Don't be promoting something that no one can touch. But anyway, once that PlayStation Plus gets weaved in with PlayStation Now in June, I think, is when they're expecting it, you'll be able to play a various slews of various games there. And even to a certain extent with Nintendo, where you can, you know, have like all the retro games as part of their online subscription, or a bunch of the indie games that go live, and to that same extent, like the free games on Epic and the random games you can buy on cheap on Steam or through Fanatical bundles or wherever you're getting your bundles of games. Like, there are plenty of venues to cheaply get access to a large number of games. And if you get a good enough hodgepodge, which all of these solutions I've just mentioned are, even Humble Choice or whatever, I canceled that long ago, but if PC was my only platform, I'd probably be still part of it. My point is that if you give yourself an opportunity and you're at least mildly conscientious of what you're subscribing to and keeping the budget low, you can have access to a myriad games and definitely find something to occupy your time. Remember, gaming is the passion, not gaming in a limited scope. And if you are gaming in a limited scope, you have even less to concern yourself with, because you're just buying games A, B, and C every year, and you're just enjoying games A, B, and C every year. So just keep doing that. So hopefully this takes a positive spin and gives you a good outlook as we enter into this summer. And Trees and I will be back next week with a new episode ready to talk about plenty of Cyberpunk. Mild spoilers, I beat Demon's Souls and I've got some things to say about it that won't be too long-winded, especially for those of you who are like, God, another Soulsborne thing. And I've been playing the hell out of Cyberpunk, so I look forward to talking to Trees about it plenty. So until next week, y'all enjoy it, take care, and happy gaming.